Hello and good morning. Walter happened to walk in here right as I was pressing record, so I thought I'd pick him up and say hi. Walter, do you want to say hi to everybody? It's May 1st. Are you excited? Yeah? Walter doesn't care about time. But he is excited about Star Wars Day, May 4th coming up. I'm curious if The Acolyte, the new Star Wars show, will come out on May 4th or this week. I've been seeing more articles about it. Hey, bud. Yeah. Walter was a crazy boy this morning. He was running around from like 6 to 7 a.m. in the morning. That's right before we wake up. Just having a grand old time. Thank you, Ian, for the reminder to post the comments today. I will indeed try to remember to do that. All right, Walter, do you got places to go? Yeah, Walter has things to do. So he's going to take off and do that. Yeah, I hope, yeah, the morning zoomies, as Garrett says, that is Walter. I've heard that cats, like, I'm sure it depends on the cats, but in general, I've heard that cats aren't nocturnal or daytime. They're the in-between times. They're like dawn and dusk animals. That's their primary times. Susanna says her cat Jupiter gets the zoomies in the morning. Then he always has a crazy look in his eyes then. Tristan says no sound, but it sounds like people can hear me. So Tristan, it might be your speakers. I think. Can someone else let me know if you can hear me? Seems to be working. Zachary says Walter. Oh no, who says that? Steve says does Walter like to be picked up? Okay, people confirm that they can hear me. So Tristan, it might be your sound. First Acolyte is June 4th, not May 4th. Walter doesn't mind being picked up. He puts up with it for a short amount of time. Yeah. Oh, sorry. And I just said I was going to post questions. And I'm not actually doing it. One topic I will talk about a little bit today is Vantage. As Austin mentions, Vantage is number one on the hotness on BoardGameGeek right now, which is really encouraging for me. I've been working on this game for a long time, and it's still a year away from actually being released, but we are near the end stages of the creation process of it at this point. I do expect, as exciting as it is to see it on the top of the hotness and to see 6,000 people already have signed up for the Vantage newsletter, I do expect that to go back down over the next year, probably over the next couple of days. And I think one of the reasons it's up there is because I posted the first design diary about Vantage, and it also got a lot of great press last week when I talked about it. So today I might talk a little bit about that design diary post if we have time to talk about it. But it is on our website, it's on BoardGameGeek, and it's on the Facebook group. Ray says he got the chance to play Wormspan for the second time last night and had a good time with it. Do you have a favorite dragon guild? I like the puzzle of all the different dragon guilds. I think I found in Wormspan that I prefer, and I think there's one dragon guild that grants slightly more coins than the other dragon guilds, and I prefer the other ones, not that one. I think that one's fine. I think it feels really good to get coins in the game, but I often feel a little guilty getting coins in the game, especially when I'm teaching Wormspan, because I end up taking more actions than other players. So I've been actually, in recent plays, I've been avoiding getting coins, even though I know it probably isn't the best strategy to do that. And so I think there's one Dragon Guild that has slightly more coins than the others. I like the other ones instead, I think, for me personally. Garrett points out that May the 4th is also the Stonemaier Games Discord anniversary. Has it been 1 year, Garrett, or 2 years? I can't remember how long it's been, but it is neat to see how the Discord has grown and what we've used it for over that time, and how we'll continue to use it in the future. Discord is a really amazing platform, and we do pay for it now. I think at first we didn't pay for it because you don't have to pay for Discord to use it, but I think it's worth the money. I mean, I love products that kind of prove their use and then show that they are worth the money to maintain, and Discord is definitely one of them. Jonathan says, in the past, you've mentioned how much respect you have for other designers who make large decks of interacting cards and how it isn't your strong suit. How did that matter with regard to Vantage? That's a good memory, Jonathan. Yeah, this is one of the things that really impressed me about Elizabeth when she showed me the original deck of around 100 Wingspan cards. I think that was what was in the original prototype. And just seeing how well she paired the theme of each bird with its ability was really impressive to me. It is something that I can do. I have done it in our games, but it isn't. It takes a lot of time for me to figure that out, and I've had a lot of time to work on Vantage. So even as I continue to playtest Vantage, I continue to refine the cards and try to make them more thematic, more unique, more powerful. And with around 900 different cards to discover in Vantage, aside from the location cards. So this is in addition to location cards, there are around 900 different cards. It was a fun challenge throughout the process to continually go back to every card type and every card individually and say, what makes this interesting? What makes this thematically unique? And also while I'm playtesting, which cards am I actually using and which one am I not? If I notice that I'm just not using certain cards, I'll revise them. I'll make them better. I want all the cards to have the potential to be used, because in any given game, you're probably only going to see around a dozen, or each player will only see around a dozen of those 900 cards. So it's important to me that they all have utility in some circumstantial utility, but they all have some form of utility. I know I'm not really talking about the process here, Jonathan, but it's really just I've played a lot of Vantage and tried to refine the cards over time. And I've gotten great feedback from playtesters of Vantage, other playtesters. Julio says, I've seen a lot of questions about Vantage on BoardGameGeek. Were you expecting it to get this much attention? Expecting, I don't know if expecting is the right word. I was hoping that people would care about it. And I was expecting that the people who did care about it would have questions, and that I would have to balance what I actually want to talk about now and what I want to save for a full explanation later. And I've actually been really impressed and appreciative how people have asked questions, but also understood that, seem to be understanding that the full information will come later, or that more information will come later. I did, so one of the approaches I took, Julio, I'm going to drop your comment for a second and pull up the design diary on this other page, our website. So if you go to the Vantage page of our website, you can see the design diary. One thing I really wanted to do, and you'll see this in the newsletter version of this too, is to talk about the process. So part of the newsletter is about the process. In this case, I talk about early inspirations of time stories, some early ideas I had that weren't related to specific games, and Zelda Breath of the Wild. So I talk about, I didn't actually put the Zelda Breath of the Wild image in there. I'll have to go add that. But then I decided in every design diary post, I wanted to talk about and focus on a specific mechanism, how it works, and provide a specific example of how it works. So I found this image that we didn't end up using in the game. And this is the image that I'll use for some of the examples in the game. And so I hope that provided something concrete for us to talk about for a little while. And then I'll do that in the next newsletter, which I think will probably be about the art, the process of like actually creating the world and the art. And then I'll share another specific example of how the game works. So I think what will be my approach going forward with each of these design diary posts. I need to add this Zelda Breath of the Wild image. I can't believe I forgot that. It's on the newsletter version of it, but not here. Took the wrong image off the screen. Tony says, have you received more or fewer orders for the Vantage coins than you anticipated so far? You know, I didn't know what to expect for it. Because I've tried to make it very clear that this is not a FOMO movement for the coins, that the coins are here available now if you want them, if you want to combine them with some other stuff that you're ordering. Actually, they're not technically available yet. They're coming in about 2 weeks. They're freight shipping right now. Then they will be available, but they're essentially available now. But they will be available in the future too, including when we release the game at the same price. So there's no reason necessarily to get the coins now. So I wasn't sure what to expect from it. And I would say, so I really don't know, Tony. We made more than we sold. I can say that. So, but we didn't make them with the intent of selling out. In fact, I was very much hoping that we would not sell out right now. I was hoping that we would have some in stock for a while, maybe even all the way through to the release of the game when we'll make some more metal coins as well. But selling a lot of the coins at this point in time was not a goal. It was just giving people something tangible for something that I've worked on for a really long time. And so we accomplished that goal just by making the coins. Julie says, how frequently do you think you'll discuss Vantage over the coming months? And looks intriguing. Thank you, Julie. I'm aiming for one a month, one big post a month. And it's possible that I'll increase that. I probably will increase that as we get really, really close to the launch. But for now, I'm just thinking about one month. So it will definitely, I think, fall out of the discussion, the gaming community discussion for the periods between the months. And I'm completely fine with that. There are many other games that we can talk about. But yeah, I'm thinking one a month to share a story and then something substantial and specific about how the game actually plays. George says, you mentioned that you don't put awards on your boxes because you don't want to highlight some awards over others. That's one of the reasons. Also, awards just aren't a motivation for why we do what we do. Our goal is to bring joy to tabletops worldwide, not to look good, I guess, or not to, whatever. I don't know. I don't want to speak of other people's motivations for getting awards. It is just not a motivation of ours. George says, my copy of Euphoria has a Mensa award. Why the exception? Yeah, this is actually one of the reasons that I realized that this wasn't something that I enjoyed. So Mensa is essentially a marketing program, and which I did not know. So when I released Euphoria, I think Mensa reached out to us and said, hey, do you want to submit your game to our Mensa award? And at the time, my perception of it was, oh, this is a highly acclaimed award that Mensa creates for people to know which games are you know, highly intellectual games, that sort of thing. So I was like, okay, I'll submit it. And I learned then that to submit games to Mensa, you have to send them a lot of games. It's around a few dozen games, I think, which kind of makes sense. They're going to, they have this event where a bunch of people from Mensa play the games and decide which ones, but it's a fairly large expense to give them all the games. And then afterwards, and part of it is that you have to commit, if you get selected, to putting the Mensa logo on your box. That's why it's on the box. I may have actually removed it since then in more recent printings because I don't like it being on the box. What I found out later after this was all done was that you kind of get caught in Mensa's marketing system after that, because it becomes a reason for them to come to you and say, hey, you have this award now. Do you want to pay for ads in our newsletter to promote the award? They ask you a lot to pay for ads to promote this award that they gave you. And so it ends up feeling a lot like they got your foot in the door for a marketing scheme rather than a well-earned reward. Anyway, I didn't expect this to go off on a rant on Mensa, but George, that is the reason that the award logo is on the box. And either I have taken it off, I haven't taken it off. I can't remember I don't even know the legal element of whether or not we need to leave it on the box. I think I have removed it on the most recent printing though, because I don't like that it's there. Steve says, what's your chocolate of the day? Thank you, Steve, for asking about chocolate of the day. I just wrote a blog post the other day about a chocolate tasting we went to a few weekends ago. And I finally got through all the chocolates from that chocolate tasting. We tried 45 different chocolates, some at the tasting, some later, most of them dark chocolate. And one of my favorites, and the one that I'm able to easily buy because it is local to me, is the cacao 70% dark chocolate wafers. They come in a big bag of these wafers. I picked them up at the farmer's market, at the cacao stand at the farmer's market, or cacao, I think maybe is how you say it, recently in this past Saturday. And that has been my chocolate of the week, and it will also be my chocolate of the day today. I also have, I think, a cookie left over from a local bakery called Whisk, and I have a little part of that to eat at lunch today. So that's my chocolate of the day. That reminds me, let me throw out to you all what my question of the day is today. It's May 1st today. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. That's why it's in the title here, Mental Health. And I've written about this over the years through various angles, various topics. And I just wanted to see what was on your mind right now for mental health awareness. I completely understand if you don't want to share about it. It can be personal. It doesn't have to be personal. But anything, if you have something to share that's been on your mind about mental health recently, that feel free to share it. It might be something that ends up inspiring what I might write about tomorrow. Doesn't have to be though. It can just be what's on your mind. Anything goes. And yeah, I really have not decided how I'm going to write about it or if I can add value beyond what I've already written about it. So I might just look at some older content and share some of that again. I don't know, but I wanted to pose that to be my question of the day today. Tristan says, any estimate when the pre-order will open next year? Good question, Tristan. We kind of stopped using the term pre-order because when we release a product, it's in stock or will be in stock in the very near future. So we call them launch products. We're launching a new product. It's available on our web store and our fulfillment centers. So the launch for Vantage will be in about a year. Beyond that, I don't know. It's way too early for me to really guess the actual month here, but we're looking at about a year from now. I don't see it being much longer than that. I also don't see it being much shorter than that though. So we're in May, so maybe May, June, July at the latest, I'm hoping for, but And I actually really, the full honest answer is when the game is ready, I want the game to be as awesome as it possibly can be. But I pretty much didn't announce the game until I knew that it was at a really, really good place. But we're still refining it. We're still playtesting it. Zachary says, have you seen anyone get upset that Vantage is over a year away from release compared to your usual process of a game getting announced and then being available for the next month or two? It is odd. It's a good question, but it is also kind of an odd thing that odd thing to get upset about. But I did see one comment for someone saying, I think the comment was essentially almost verbatim, like, why would I even care about this right now? It's not going to be ready for a year, which is interesting because so many projects are on crowdfunding. People, like, crowdfunders are asking for you to be interested in something a year before the release. But my answer was, if you don't care about it, that's okay. Like, you can wait until later. All the design diary posts are going to be there. So if you really don't care to know about the game a year in advance, you can wait until for another year. When I say, okay, we're launching in 10 days, it's going to be ready in 10 days. And you can go back then and look at all the design diary posts because they will be archived on our website. But there was only one person that said that. I thought it was a little odd. It felt a little aggressive the way they said it, but I do understand that there are probably plenty of people who actually don't care about the game in general or about that I've started talking about it so early. But upset only really that one comment. Yeah. George says, you call it an open world game. I've looked that up, but don't really understand what that means. Can you explain? Open world, you know, there's a lot of ways to talk about it, but the main way that I think about it is in terms of how many directions you can move, how free your movement is. And in Vantage, you can, no matter where you are in the world, you can almost always move in all four cardinal directions. You can walk, you can go north, you can go east, south, or west. And so that's open. It's an open element. The game isn't saying you need to go from this point to this point next. What's an example of the opposite? So what's a game where you're moving around the world? So like Gloomhaven, most people know Gloomhaven. In Gloomhaven, there's an open element to where you decide to go on the map. So that actually is pretty open world. You can choose, I think, pretty much any location that you've unlocked on the map to go to. But once you are within a scenario in Gloomhaven, and there aren't scenarios in Vantage, it's not a scenario-driven game, but once you're in a scenario in Vantage, in Gloomhaven, you can't just walk behind you. Like there's a gate behind you that you can't walk through. You have to walk through a door at some point. And sometimes you have a couple doors that you could walk through, but the entire scenario is constrained. You can't walk off that map, off the grid in Gloomhaven. Whereas in Vantage, there is no grid, but your movement is completely unconstrained. Also, there's another related term often used called sandbox. And sandbox refers to the variety of things you can do at any time in the game. That it isn't just a game about fighting, for example, or it isn't just a game about moving, that there are a lot of other options there for you in how you interact with the world. And so Vantage is also a sandbox game and an open world game. And one of the other elements, the last element that makes Vantage, I think, special in terms of open world, is that most open world games, even some of the most open digital open world games, like Zelda Breath of the Wild, which I talk about in the design diary post, they have you start at the exact same location as anyone else who plays the game. And every time you play, if you start the game, a new game of Zelda Breath of the Wild, you start in the same place, the tutorial. Same with Elden Ring, a huge open world game. Whereas in Vantage, you can start randomly in one of over 100 different locations. So not only is the world completely open in terms of where you can move once you end up on the world, but it's also completely open in where you start, or it's very open in terms of how you start. Tyler says he's excited to get the new realms and the Libertalia promo to the table. So yeah, we do have some new realms that we announced last week. And I do want to mention something about Rolling Realms. So I'm doing a Rolling Realms live play this week. And this morning when I signed on to StreamYard, which I'm using right now to communicate with you, I found that StreamYard has removed the option to stream live to a Facebook group. To a Facebook page, it does allow, but not to a group. It seems to have dropped that. I don't know why. Maybe something with the Facebook API. Hopefully it'll come back at some point in the future. In fact, I might write to StreamYard to ask them about that. I'll make a note about that. But yeah, so that option is not offered. And today I am doing a live play this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at 3 o'clock Central Time. I'm doing live plays of Rolling Realms. Today I'm doing Underwater Cities, Role Player, and Can't Stop, these three realms. So I won't be able to live stream on Facebook, unfortunately, but I will be able to live stream on YouTube as normal. So I'm sorry about that. That was unexpected to me too. And I will share a link in advance on Facebook if you prefer to play along there. But that was news to me this morning. Justin says, the length of the project and passion you have for it are admirable. Thank you, Justin. This is about Vantage. What are the timeframes for creating other games you've developed? And design and develop is actually two different things. Design is, you know, when I create a game from scratch from the very beginning. Develop is when I work with a designer as a developer, I help refine the game. I make it more balanced, more intuitive. The development process for the game doesn't start until the design is nearly complete. So, but overall, the creation process for a game usually takes 1 to 2 years. I've had some games take a little bit longer. Vantage obviously has taken a lot longer. And so I've had some games that took a little bit shorter than that. Like they really came together well, but usually 1 to 2 years. Yeah. Salmon says, with so many cards in the game, would this affect the cost of the game? Absolutely. Yeah. Every component you put in the game will affect the cost. For comparison, Wingspan. Wingspan is a card-driven game, mostly cards. There are player mats, there are some custom dice, a few other components, some tokens. The types of things that you also find in Vantage, custom dice, tokens, things like that. But Wingspan, primarily a card-driven game. It's a $65 price point for Wingspan. And that's based on how much it costs to actually make the game. The Wingspan has a little over 200 cards. Vantage has 1,300 cards. That doesn't mean that the multiplier between 200 and 1,300 it will reflect in the price, but I'm just giving you kind of a price point there. That Wingspan, $65 game for a little over 200 cards. Vantage, price unknown because we haven't even gone to production yet, but 1,300 cards in the game. Even though a single piece of cardboard doesn't seem to cost that much, it really does add up. And not only adds up, but it also adds significantly to the weight. And it's actually for that reason that the location cards in Vantage are double-sided. You're only ever on one location. You're only ever looking at one location advantage. It's the card vertically right up in front of you. But it's a significant increase in cost to have for us to have 800 location cards versus 400 location cards printed double-sided, especially given how big the cards are, the location cards advantage. So it's a... this is an example of the many different ways that I've tried to keep the cost down for Vantage while still offering a really high quality product so that you're not paying $300 for a game, for example. Julio has a nice comment. I do read that, Julio. Thank you for saying that. Mark says, how do you feel about a fan posting a fan content for Vantage, like a Vantage fan realm for Rolling Realms? That's a good question, Mark. Given how little people know about the game, I don't think it's possible to release a fan realm for Vantage at this point. I would prefer to have the first opportunity to release the Vantage Rolling Realm. And then if people want to show their own variants of that realm or fan realms for the game after I've released the game, after I've released the realm for Vantage, because there will be a Rolling Realm promo for Vantage, that would be my preference. I think in the meantime, it's going to be based on so little information, and it really might confuse people as to what it is, how it is. Is it official? Is it not? Even if you make it very clear that it isn't, that I would prefer for you to wait for the official realm to come out, or for people. I don't know if you're suggesting that you might do that, Mark, but I know you're very good at making these fan realms, and I do appreciate that in general. Ray says, since you're announcing Vantage so far in advance, are you planning on doing a pre-order style like for Expeditions or the more standard way? Definitely standard way. Like when we have Vantage in stock, that's when we'll do the launch for it. We won't. Expeditions was an exception to that. But however, that said, we are still gathering a lot of data about Vantage in the meantime. Everyone who subscribes to the Vantage newsletter, that's giving us information that you might be interested in buying a copy. And so that might be the difference between us making, I don't know, 20,000 copies in the first print run versus 40,000, depending on how many people we see who appear to be interested in the game in advance before we start printing the game. Julia mentioned that his ambassador polo is on the way and he's going to wear it at work. That's great. Yeah, I should wear my ambassador polo. I usually wear t-shirts. But we did release the Stillmire Ambassador Polo recently. It's on our website. It's possible, even if you're not a Stillmire Ambassador and you like polos, you might search our website and check it out to see if there's any remaining in stock. I did share it with ambassadors last week. In fact, I need to make sure that I mention that to other ambassadors if there are extras. So far, I only told the ambassadors who signed up to get them. Extra polos. All right, there we go. Okay, George confirms that his version of Euphoria is the latest printing with a double-sided board and has the Menta logo on it. Okay, good to know, George. I'm going to remove that logo in the next printing if we do another printing of Euphoria. Yeah. Ed Bighead says, get me out there for some more disc golf as it warms up. I play every weekend. That's what my body can handle well. My shoulder and elbow are not really in a great place right now, but a week gives me enough time to heal and feel good. Where did we play this past week? We played at Watson Park, Watson Trails Park in St. Louis this past weekend and had a grand old time playing through the leaves there. Austin mentioned something that one of the weird things about the Board Game Geek ranking system is that people leave reviews having not played the game. It's an ongoing problem, I think, there. And it's frustrating to see that, of course, but my main concern is people who don't understand, who don't know, who look at those ratings and think that those people have actually played the game or played most importantly, the final version of the game. I ask playtesters not even to rank the game or to rate the game until they've played the final version of the game, because playing with the final components is a different experience than playing with the playtest prototype. Tyler also mentions the Ambassador Polo I see here. Kieran says, I know you often discuss your favorite games at the moment, but do you, by any chance, have a favorite publisher? Megan, I'm back. Can you all hear me again? Can you see me? Sorry, our internet just completely conked out. And we chose this as the time to grind more coffee. So that was that sound in the background. Let me know if you can hear me again. I think I am back live again. But I think I am. But I can't really tell. So if you can, okay, good. Sounds like that. So Kieran, I had a comment of yours on your screen, and now it's completely gone from my mind. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, let's see. Kieran, it was around 10:15. Let's see. I see some good comments about mental health as well. Here we go. Kieran says, do you have a favorite publisher? So I think the short answer, since I've lost a few minutes here, is I think Thunderworks is might be at the top of that list. I think Thunderworks is consistently doing really great work. And I love their recent game, Stone Spine Architects. It's one of the most recent games that I played, again, after playing it once. Some other games I played recently were Blob Party. I'm loving Blob Party. And Age Contrived, Namiji, really solid follow-up to Takedo, and Linko, an older game that I got to play recently. Yeah, those are some recent ones. You know, I'm not exactly sure which comments I should show about mental health, but I'm assuming that you're sharing it here. You're comfortable with me showing it on the screen. If that's not true, let me know in the comment here. I see Damon J is dealing with friends changing, dealing with diabetes. Two tough things. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Aaron says he's a huge advocate for therapy. He's in a good place and doesn't have anything specific I need to feel that he works through, but I think everyone can use some professional counseling. Thank you for sharing that, Aaron. Yeah, I've gone to a few different therapists over the years and gotten a lot of value from them. I think it's also about finding the right person, just like finding the right partner in life. If you haven't found the right therapist, it may not sync up, but finding the right therapist can be a huge difference. Ian says that he suffered from depression from 18. He's now 60. There still exists a stigma about mental health. He's experienced it himself. Keep talking about it. That creates change. Thank you for saying that. And thank you for sharing. Thank you for being open to share that. I appreciate that. Jeremy says that his monthly game night is always the best thing for his mental health. I love the positive impact that games have on my mental health. And I've heard that from others too, Jeremy. Thank you for sharing that. Kieran says on mental health, the charismatic voice, a known mental health advocate has released a video on a band that is very important to him while she sleeps, and she deals with these topics very effectively. Yeah, that's great to know. I'll have to check that out. On the charismatic voice. George has coming to mental health. I sought help for depression years ago. The most helpful advice I got was to start my day with exercise, preferably outdoors. I went for a morning skate daily, and it changed so much. That's awesome to hear, George. I can definitely relate to that too. The value of getting outdoors. Sometimes, so I have a window right here, and I often have the blind down because there's kind of glare on the screen. But whenever I remember to open it up, I don't know. It feels good. Not even just to be outside. I think being outside is awesome, but also just to see the greenery outside can make a positive impact on my day. Julio says that he lost his mom earlier this year. It has affected me in ways I wasn't expecting, but I luckily have my wife and my one-year-old to hold me up. Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that, Julio. Julio says, I like that he says, to all those going through tough times, I hope you, and then the comments, find someone to help you through those times and don't hold too much emotion in. And that's a wonderful message to share. Thank you. Dawson says, I wish there was more accessible knowledge about the process of getting a therapist. I wanted to try therapy, but in the US, not knowing what insurance does and where to go is hard. That's true. Yeah, there are oftentimes too many barriers between us and the mental and sometimes the physical health care that we need. And if anyone has any recommendations there of a more streamlined way to do it, feel free to let Dawson know here. We'll probably jump around to topics here. So we'll see some mental health as well. But here's a question about Vantage. Mr. Jeeves says, is it possible for players and Vantage to run into each other while traveling the planet? Yeah, the planet isn't random. Location, random example, location 100 is always to the east of location 105, things like that. So everything's all the way there. So it is possible while I'm moving around the planet that I might run into somebody else. I won't see them because, you know, they're printed cards. It's not a digital game, but I'll know that someone else is on my location, and there's certain rules in the game about what you can do in that rare situation where you end up on the same location as someone else. Sean says, will Vantage be similar to Seventh Continent in terms of the movement? It's a little bit, it's similar in that, like I just said, that location 100 is always to the east of 105. That's the same in Seventh Continent, Seventh Citadel. The way movement actually works is different. Seventh Continent is a game about having a bunch of cards on the table, kind of forming a tile grid of the world. Vantage is a game about having a location card vertically in front of you that only you can see, because that's all you can see. That's your vantage. That's your perspective on the world. But movement itself is, in terms of each location always being next to the same location, is similar to Seventh Continent. Yeah. Luke, so we're talking about mental health a little bit today. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Luke says, I've struggled with it in the past few years. I was just healing when the pandemic hit. Playing and designing games has been a great help. I'm glad to hear that, that's been helpful for you, Luke. Julio says, when Vantage is further along in the process, will you sponsor a teach and a playthrough, or just the teach like usual? That's a good question. We usually try to make sure that someone is doing a teach, and that we do sponsor. We always sponsor a teach. A playthrough, sometimes it just happens. We don't necessarily have to sponsor it. But if I get the sense that there aren't any content creators who are doing a playthrough, I will definitely sponsor it. I'll probably be doing some myself, some playthroughs of Vantage. So that might help as well. Ian has a good message about mental health. Depression isn't being sad. Those are two different things. That's well said, Ian, and very concisely said. Roberto says, what are some specific challenges that have arisen from trying to playtest an open world game versus a static map or world? Interesting question, Roberto. And I should point out that Vantage is a static map or world. Like I mentioned a second ago, that location 100 is always to the east of 105, and so on all the way around the world. So versus a stack. So what is a converse example here of a game? The open world part of it is the freedom of movement, that I can move in any of these directions at any given time. And what in terms of the design challenge of doing that, really, it's a matter of having locations in every direction and making it a full planet so that you can always move north and keep moving north and north and north and north, and you can actually come back around to the location where you started. So it's just a lot of stuff. I felt the need to populate a full planet. Otherwise, I think it would limit the replayability if it was just a grid of like 9 locations, because then you're going to see a lot of the same stuff in every game. Whereas in Vantage, I wanted to make it big enough, and this is the main design challenge, really, making a big enough world that you are probably going to see completely different locations every time you play. And when you do revisit a location that you've seen before, that you might interact with it in a different way. You might move in a different direction off of that location, creating a different path, a different experience every time you play. So the size of it was the real design challenge. Jeff says, if you wander to the farthest north point and then continue north, will you end up in a southern location? It's a planet, so I guess all poles are connected. That's right. Yeah, you can walk completely around the world vertically and horizontally, completely around the world. Yeah. Dim says, after you play hundreds of times and learn all the locations, do you think the game would be just as exciting to play? Also, would you consider it a relaxing game? It is relaxing. I don't know if relaxing is exactly the right word, but it is kind of a chill game to play solo, at least. I think when you're playing with other people, it's a little bit more intense. The stakes are the same, but it's also, you know, you have other players to look out for. So playing it solo has definitely been fairly chill. If you play hundreds of times, that would be amazing if you play it that many times. I played it probably hundreds of times at this point, many, many different times, and it continues to be just as exciting to play. For me, because the order of the things that you add can vary every time you play. Even if you have the same character with the same mission and you crash land on the same place, the odds of all that happening are very slim. But even if all of that happens, the way you interact with that location, the location where you crash, might be different. And the direction in which you move from that location might be different. It's one of these games that actually, like, it's exciting to discover all the stuff for the first time. But we found in playtesting that it's actually really gratifying to move around a world that you become familiar with. You know certain things. You know certain outcomes. There's 6,000 different actions in the game, or over 6,000 different actions. So it would, even if you've taken every single action, it's still, there are still mechanical uncertainties that can factor into it. But there's this sense of knowing a planet, that knowing a world that feels really good. So you can end up being the judge of that after you play hundreds of times. Let me know if you disagree or agree. But that has been my experience so far. Julie talks about mental health for younger people. She says her son's school district has done a great job ramping up mental health resources for kids. Given the level of anxiety and depression we see in kids, the proactive approach is encouraging. That is encouraging. I think it's great that they have that. Back when I was in school, they had school counselors. I don't know if their job really back then was for the mental health of the students. It was probably a small factor. But I'm glad it's a more of an emphasis now. Chad says, will the card holders be the hook component in Vantage? Will they be plastic or cardboard? They'll be plastic. And no, I wouldn't say that they're it's a utilitarian component, not a hook component. I think the hook in Vantage is the size of the game, how the sheer volume of the art in the game, and the custom dice. I think custom dice are a nice component hook. Ed Bighead says, would you consider Vantage a magnum opus of your designing career so far? Curious, since it's had so much time devoted to it. I don't know if I think of games that way, but it's certainly the biggest game that I've ever made. And whenever I make a game, I hope it will be something special that will bring joy to other people. And I hope the same for Vantage. Yeah. Zachary says, I know Vantage isn't even out yet, so you wouldn't be thinking about expansions, but it feels like such a large game. Do you think expansions will work for such large games? Zachary, I've actually kind of come out and said in several different places that there will not be expansions for Vantage. It is a complete game in the box, a complete world, a complete game in the box. There won't be anything to add to it other than like the metal coins, accessories, things like that. But in terms of content, the world is complete, entirely complete. It's possible that I might use the system, the mechanical system in the game, in a different world someday, but I also doubt that because it's taken so long to design Vantage that I think my curiosities will lie elsewhere afterwards. But no, you can even see in the, here, I'll show you on our website. I got to share, I lost the internet, so I got to bring this back up again. Share my screen here. Hey, I am so sorry about my internet issues today. They appear to be an anomaly. Our internet just completely went out. This wasn't like a slowdown. But yeah, I'm sorry about that. I do have to wrap up for today, and so I'm sure I missed a lot of comments and questions. I'm really sorry about that. But if there's anything that you mentioned that you'd like to mention again, once I post this live on YouTube or when I put it on YouTube in a second, feel free to post there, and I'm happy to answer any comments or questions that you post there. So, yeah. Thanks for your patience today, and hopefully it'll work better next Wednesday. Have a great day, and I'll see you hopefully in a few hours with better internet at 3 o'clock for the Rolling Realms live play. Take care. Bye.